Back to the Steve Cochran Show.
Midwest Medical Examiner's Office concludes Prince died of an accidental drug overdose. Self-administered fentanyl. Fentanyl, an opioid painkiller prescribed millions of times each year, is also available on the black market. The night before his death, Prince's reps called an expert in pain medication addiction.
Not an unexpected, but a sad twist in the Prince story. The opioid addiction. Again, when a celebrity dies, you don't talk about the celebrity death for the sake of just titillation. You talk about it with the hope that somebody might learn from it. And the opioid addiction in this country is not being talked about enough. We've asked Dr. Mostyn, nice enough to join us again to do that, and we'll get to him in just a second. Mary's here. Yeah, the problem is, and you guys all know this, and we'll pick this up with Dr. Most, but the problem is, if you have an injury, and Prince, apparently this all started with Prince with severe shin splints and broken toes and various other things from diving off speakers and dancing in heels forever, because he's 5 feet tall. Or
and
was 5 feet tall.
Hip, too. The bad
screwed
hip
up his hip. Mm-hmm. So you start taking it as pain meds. But then you continue your routine, or you continue, you know, the pain meds make you feel better. So you keep jumping off stuff. So you aggravate the injury, and then you're taking more pain meds. And then you're taking other types. And one stacks on the other, and then you're an addict, and then you're dead. It's a very bad line. So when you're a celebrity, you have access to stuff you shouldn't have access to. And it's not just about money. People want to do your favors. So the investigation there will continue as well. Six 51. Dr. Kevin Most joins us on a Friday. Thanks for taking the time, Doc. I know how busy you are.
Oh, no problem.
Terrible story, but again, if we don't learn from when famous people die, maybe we're not paying enough attention. So Prince dies, and everybody, I know I mentioned this at the time, and you know, I fully admit I'm wrong about this, but I'm stunned that it was legitimately a drug overdose, because I think we need to put it in that category and not try to shield it or rationalize it, as we all tend to do when it's pills. We think of pills differently, don't we?
Well, you do. And, you know, you talked about this. Here we get a celebrity that dies and it makes the news, but yet people need to realize that we have about 30,000 deaths a year due to opioid overdoses.
30,000?
30,000. 85 people a day die from opioid overdoses. So, you know, you're starting to hear even the politicians talk about this, because this is an epidemic. Prince, you know, unfortunately passed away from an overdose of one of the most potent, if not the most potent, narcotic opioids, you know, fentanyl.
And yeah, what is fentanyl?
Yeah, fentanyl is it's just a synthetic opioid. So it's like a super, super strong Vicodin. It's a very, it's 100 times stronger than morphine.
What would something like that be appropriately used for?
Yeah, the appropriate use for it is very, very narrow, mainly for cancer patients who can't tolerate opioids or have what we call breakthrough pain. So in other words, they're at the highest dose of regular pain medication, and then we give them just a little bit of fentanyl, usually in a lozenger form, so that they're not taking it consistently. Some people need it for chronic pain, chronic cancer patients, so we have what we call Duragesic, and it's a patch that you put on and you wear it for 3 days and then take it off.
So if you're taking fentanyl, you must have stepped it up to a point over a certain period of time, or is that not true?
Yeah, no. Fentanyl sometimes can be used immediately. We use it during surgeries often, and we use it sometimes right after surgery.
But as an addict?
As an addict, absolutely. You have stepped it up. If you started with fentanyl, boy, you got there pretty quickly. But most people, it's going to be that they started using just over prescription Vicodin, and then kind of went to heroin, and then usually out to fentanyl.
Now, even if you're Prince and you can call in a lot of favors, you've got to have some help getting this drug, I would assume.
Well, there's a huge black market for it. So a lot of it is stolen out of pharmacies. There's actually, you know, we talk about meth labs. Well, there's actually fentanyl labs as well. But and a lot of, unfortunately, a lot of physicians, I shouldn't say a lot, but there are physicians that unfortunately write this drug inappropriately, and then it gets in the hands of a patient who really doesn't need it, and then sells it on the street.
Boy, so let me ask you this, Doc. This might be a crazy question, and perhaps it's just how these drugs affect people differently, but you hear about these musicians, and I don't mean to generalize, but you hear about people. I think Belinda Carlisle came out a few weeks ago, Steve, and she said she had a 30-year cocaine addiction that she successfully...
30 years, that's a career.
30-year, yeah. I mean, is it just that certain drugs affect your body differently, depending on who you are and your body makeup?
Yeah, but you just talked about cocaine. Between cocaine and the opioids, those are the two most highly addictive medicines that we have. Some people who have a tendency for addiction, a single dose of a narcotic can tip them to a point of continued abuse.
Because you've got that trigger in your body.
Exactly. Yep.
So when it comes to, here, I talked to, again, a couple of friends who stayed in touch with Prince long after I didn't. And they were surprised, disappointed, all of those things as well. Everybody knew that he took some meds for injuring himself on stage. Nobody knew that it had continued, and nobody knew that the continued performances could go on in the state of addiction that he may have been in. All that remains to be seen what would truly happen here. But what we do know is an addiction expert from California couldn't fly in. His son, who works for him, was flown in overnight. He was the doctor on the scene at Paisley Park and went in, and that's when they all found Prince in this elevator where he'd been dead for several hours with apparently a bottle of prescription drugs in his pocket. So if a guy is at that state, and if when the plane landed in Peoria, the emergency landing in Peoria was hastened by the fact that he had taken this again, can we assume that this was pain meds that turned into the addiction and it was not some, hey, I love getting high on this stuff, or is that too big a jump?
It's a jump, but it's a very common jump. You know, people who have never had that don't know what the feeling of that medication is, and therefore they don't go out to seek it unless someone tells them about it. But once they've had that drug and they say, wow, that drug really makes me feel good, and not only did it take away my pain, but they also get this sense of euphoria with it. So then they want to keep chasing that. And you got to remember, some of these drugs are very short-acting. Fentanyl, very short-acting drug if you take it in the lozenger form or IV form. So it's not like they're high through the entire day. They just get that high, they get that feeling of euphoria, takes away some of their pain, and then, you know, they go back to normal, and then they chase it again.
So it wears off, and you think, well, it made me feel good, and I'm fine, and you're in no position to decide that you're fine at that point, I'm sure.
Correct. And like you said, you know, that sometimes it will often start with that prescription pain medicine for a legitimate use. You know, you break your ankle, you break a toe, we give you those. 260 million prescriptions for narcotic opioids were given last year. That's enough for everyone in the entire United States to have their own bottle of it. So we definitely use this. Physicians now are being pushed to really stop using it or to start using and thinking of other alternatives for pain besides going to narcotics. And it's very, very closely monitored now. Every state I have, there's a website that I can go on and I can put your name and your birth date in there. And it'll tell me every narcotic pain medication you've gotten and where.
So let's break this down to where it matters most, and that's the people listening right now. There's no question that in the audience, as big as this audience is, that there are people right now who are struggling with high-dose narcotics addictions who, you know, maybe they realize it, maybe they don't. And again, just I don't oversimplify here. But if you're taking more than the doctor-recommended dose every day, you've got a problem.
You do. And the other big thing is people, let's say the doctor gives you pain medication for a broken toe. And all of a sudden, 2 days later, you don't need it, but you still have all those pills. Everyone holds on to those. I'm not going to throw those away. I'm not going to bring those back
right,
in. I'm
right,
going to
right.
keep these. And I can tell you that the theft from narcotics out of the house is huge. So people think that, oh, I'm going to save this for later. And a kid in the neighborhood who happens to be at your house or your son, someone is going to steal that and either use it or put it on the street.
You know, this reminds me of driving while you're tired, because for years I'd be dozing off driving. And then I got, you know, diagnosed with sleep apnea. And, you know, you do something about that, as, you know, millions of people have sleep apnea driving around. And somebody said, you might as well be driving drunk.
Yeah.
But you're rationalized. You're rationalized. So when you start taking pain meds because you have a legitimate medical situation, but then you start abusing the pain meds, here's where you got to go, kids. You're no different than the heroin addict down the street at some point. So it's not okay. And you got to have somebody in your life that loves you enough to try to get you to help yourself. They can't fix it for you, but you've got to have some sort of sense of self-respect and preservation for whatever you have going on in your life to stop it.
It is. It's awareness. It's awareness from families, you know, looking at their children as well as the adults who are abusing it. And right now, I'll tell you, it's such a problem right now that, you know, we started, there's a medication called Narcan, which will reverse the effects of the opioid almost immediately. So someone that has overdosed, we give them Narcan, we can save their life. To a point now where we in DuPage County, our coroner, Rich Jorgensen, has pushed so that the officers, the cops, the police officers have the Narcan because they're often the first ones on the scene. And by the time the paramedics get there, the child or the individual is dead. So, you know, it's scary when we get to a point where we know it is so bad that we're giving the reversal medicine to so many people.
How dangerous is that, too? Someone knowingly can say, oh, you know, I'm going to take this, and you know what? They can just give me the shot, they can give me the Narcan, and I'll be okay.
And, Andrea, that's a very big concern because there's some states right now that are going to allow Narcan to be bought essentially over the counter. So parents of kids who are abused that are trying to get them through this will have that medication. Individuals will have that medication. It's going to save lives, and hopefully it'll get them to a point where they can get treatment. But it is a huge concern across the country.
Last word for me. If you're a parent and your kid is taking pills, it's not okay because they're pills and not a needle. It's not okay because they're pills and not weed or whatever delineation you made because of your life history or mine. This generation, you know, I'm 55 years old. My generation looks at pill taking differently. We've got to stop looking at pill taking differently. It's all drugs, kids. Drugs administered in appropriate dosages are perfectly fine under a doctor's care. It's a great way to facilitate your life when they're needed. But when they're needed, at the dose given, under doctor's care. That's it, Doc. Anything beyond that, any violation of that, and you're a drug addict.
Yeah, I think you said it well. And, you know, when you're in the doctor's office and you say you have pain, don't exaggerate your pain so that he gives you the strongest medication. Let's make sure that we're taking appropriate medications for the conditions that we have.
Thanks for the extra time. Of course, sponsored by Northwestern Medicine, Impact Every Day. And we look forward to seeing you on Monday for a great annual golf outing that Doc Most and his amazing team put together. We'll tell you more about that next week.
You got it. We'll talk to you soon. Thank you.
See you, buddy.
Bye, Doc.